to Audio Face, we're an irreverent podcast about the music news and culture that mostly matters. I am Sean.
I'm Dan.
This is episode 174. Wow, I didn't fuck it up at all. That was great.
Of course.
Today we've got a shit ton of singles that we'll get to in a little bit, but we've got three main albums that we're going to review. We have Medicine at Midnight by Foo Fighters. We got Shiesty Season by Pooh Shiesty, or Shiesty, however you want to say it. Homegrown by Van Jess. And yes, a shit ton of stories, too, for everybody. So strap in.
And singles.
I'm like, who are you messaging?
We have new singles to talk about because this is a music podcast where we review new music, and that includes singles. First off, the hottest new single of the week, Up by Cardi B, but we don't care. The reason we don't care, not because we don't like Cardi B, but we talked about WAP last year.
Yes.
And that is very clearly the lead single off of Cardi B's sophomore album that's going to be coming out soon. We will be talking about
the whopping
the song Up. The whopping. We'll be talking about Up in the context of Cardi B's second album when it comes out. But when we review a bunch of singles before they come out, before the album comes out, then we basically end up with a situation where
The Phoenix Rule.
Yeah. We end up reviewing the whole album before we could actually listen to it in context. And this is worse for all involved. So we're not going to do that. However, we are going to talk about a recap by Kido featuring Van Jess and Channel Tris. We'll be talking about Van Jess very later on in this podcast. Need a recap. Came through for the nightcap in the S class, and you can't see through the glass. I keep the tent on and protect the moon. Let me play a song. I need to see you. But this is a really nice. Actually, I want to know what you think about this, Sean. Because
I like this. I like it. The single.
Like
it. Recap. It's pretty solid. I really like the beat and everything on it. The vocals and stuff almost sound like a Maroon 5 song for a second because it's so good, but then it has their own thing, so it kind of reminded me of that. But it's overall a great track.
Yeah, it has a really nice sort of like alternative breakbeat kind of production in it that sounds really nice. And it reminds me almost
Channel Trace. Channel Trace pretty good on it.
Yeah. It reminds me very much of the Emotional Oranges track with Channel Trace that came out a while.
It's similar. Yeah,
I would less say Emotional Oranges, but
less Emotional Oranges, but Channel Trace's part is similar to it.
Yes.
In that regards. But it fits in the context of the song. It sounds fantastic.
Yes.
Production's good and everything. Yeah.
Next up, you have Out of Ordinary by Oliver Tree.
Oliver Tree's an interesting artist.
Say the least.
Yeah. I've liked some of his stuff where they released an album last year or something.
Yeah, Ugly is Beautiful came out last year. We just didn't get around to reviewing it. And it seems like this is like an extra track from that session.
And it's okay.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. It's not my particular thing on it. His album that came out, there was a couple tracks that kind of blew up. And I didn't mind because they're... Some of his stuff would be rocky, some of his things would be experimental, some of it would be indie, and there's some good stuff in there. Not of No Ordinary is fine, it's just his voice sounds really monotone and a little whiny in that regard, too much like Weezer for this song, but his other tracks on the album that came out last year didn't, so.
Yeah, amen on that, with it being like too more bland than it should have been, for sure. Then you have F-U-C-K by Victoria Monet. Friend You Can Keep is what makes up the acronym for that really nice
for Victoria Monet. I know I like that.
We have been really consistent on Audio Face with liking fun acronyms. There's Fun from Vince Staples, which is one of my favorite acronyms to date that we reviewed for.
I just want to have fun.
We don't give a fuck
about
nothing.
None, and we don't get a fuck about no.
Yeah,
or something like
even though that
yeah.
barely worked. Anyways, F-U-C-K by Victoria Monet. It's a really nice spin on it, neo-pop kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I really did. Boom, you know, might be
across the room, but in private we'd be super close. Emphasis above, just according to the horoscopes. Looking like the stars alive, alive. Wanna be a friend.
I like it a lot too.
Yeah. And then lastly, I'll admit, I picked this on name alone. Not Around by Rip Mommy, which I was actually surprised, and it was a really nice indie.
It's a solid indie track.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very good indie track.
Yeah. It starts off slow and then goes into a second part that is more instrumentally developed. There's not much to say. Hear me out loud. Kind of like the last bit of the song. It's louder, kind of ballad-like, guitarish in the end, but also just very beautiful and kind of soft.
It's good overall.
Rip Mommy, I've read into a little bit of his discography, and much like you would expect, he is a Zoomer kid from Utah who grew up around a lot of members of the Latter-day Saints church and kind of is moving out of that realm now in his music and in his life. And so a lot of this is like...
He's just a solid indie artist.
So. Yeah. A lot of his music, I'm saying, is like a response to kind of leaving that sort of mindset. So hence the name Rip Mommy. Mm-hmm. It's very on the nose there. But as a random sort of a side thing, thought it was really cool and a nice little dip into indie. He has a randomly large amount of listeners.
Well, yeah, because he has, if you're indie, he's... relatively big in indie scenes and stuff. He has some songs that have blown up on TikTok and other crap. So, true Zoomer.
That's how it goes. Those are the singles for this week. Really fast. Make sure you follow AudioFace and send us new music. Our handles on Twitter and Instagram are at AudioFacePod. All one word, naturally, because that's how handles work. Or go to youtube.com/AudioFacePod. We just finished off a week where we had 3 videos per day, every single day for 7 days, up on the channel because I was behind on things. And y'all really seem to like that. There are a lot of really fun comments, especially the Lana Del Rey video. Really enjoyed that. So make sure you're checking us out on youtube.com/audiofacepod for those things. Power Report should exist right now, but OBS and me are terrible, and we deleted the episode. But we will have Power Report returning back very soon. I have a bunch of guests lined up and a bunch of people who are interested in being on, so... be excited for that powerreport.world for those things when they exist. And thank Dan, it's Friday, my weekly Twitch stream. Check it out at twitch.tv/sourcestream every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. That was one of the shorter times I've done plugs before. So I'm trying to, you know, get lean with it. And now let's go into really kind of one of the 2 really big news stories of this week.
Yes.
We had, I don't know, maybe this is like a Me 2.0. At least in the music world.
In the music world, for sure. We've had a lot of allegations of abuse, a lot of people coming out. We had the Chris Brown story last week.
No, last week was... T.I.
and Tiny.
We talked about Chris Brown.
We did talk
right
about
Chris Brown.
Yeah, exactly. That's fine, because then partnering up with them saying... partnering up with another little bitch.
Tory Lanez, Daystar Peterson.
Yeah, going up.
Yeah.
So,
but anyways. A lot of these stories are coming up of abuse as it relates to the music industry in a similar, like a Me Too fashion that was happening in like 2017.
Exactly. And it's coming out a lot. And this is one of the biggest ones to come out, which big name actress, Evan Rachel Wood, she accuses Marilyn Manson of a shit ton of abuse, which.
Yeah.
Doesn't surprise anybody.
Surprises no one. It's not just Evan Rachel Wood. It's 4 other women who kind of came out about their events and interactions with Marilyn Manson to an article in Variety. And it's a lot of graphic stuff we'll kind of
touch upon to get in here, but it's basically
going on to how... I'll just read part of the statement.
Yeah, you can.
The name of my abuser is Brian Warner, also known to the world as Marilyn Manson. He started grooming me when I was a teenager and horrifically abused me for years. I was brainwashed and manipulated into submission. I am done living in fear of retaliation, slander, or blackmail. I'm here to expose this dangerous man and call out the many industries that have enabled him before he ruins any more lives. I stand with the many victims who will no longer be silent. It's interesting because Wood has talked about her history as a survivor of sexual violence to Congress, mentioning the instances of Marilyn Manson, but just not mentioning him by name. Mm-hmm. And back then, there were... So Wood and Manson announced their relationship in January 2007. They were engaged in 2010, but then called off the relationship the same year. There's a lot that could go into. I don't think it's like worth it to go into all the details, but it's a lot of the main thing that's there. There was grooming, a lot of manipulation, and a lot of not just like emotional abuse in that sense, but there's physical abuse as well.
Pretty bad, yes.
Yeah. Going through that, so Marilyn Manson kind of response, and we do these stories enough to where you can almost see the patterns of how these things go. So Marilyn Manson calls the allegations a, quote, horrible distortion of reality. Let me see.
Interesting way to put it.
As is always done, these things are Instagram note posts, and it's basically... obviously, my art and my life have long been magnets for controversy, but these recent claims about me are horrible distortions of reality. My intimate relationships have always been entirely consensual with like-minded partners. Regardless of how and why others are now choosing to misrepresent the past, that is the truth. So, of course, you get like a huge, like, out categorical denial. Yeah. So then, as we do on the show, there's the allegations come out. There's the guy who doesn't usually denying it. And so now the ball's in the court of the larger music industry to see how the response goes. And so far, as you're saying.
Yeah, so the I know his label dropped him, I believe, and he got barred from a bunch of stuff and acts from like TV shows and other things, I believe.
Yeah, going to that. I think like shortly afterwards, Loma Vista Recordings announced that they terminated the relationship with Marilyn Manson.
Mm-hmm.
So they apparently had another album that was at least in the works under their contract. They're not going to do that anymore. They just said that they've decided to not work with Marilyn Manson on any future projects, which is likely a smart thing to do. Marilyn Manson was also working on, I believe, two TV series.
Something like that, yeah.
One was American Gods, which it was a Starz series where he would have been the front man of a Viking death metal band called Blood Death. So it's apparently like a sort of semi-mockumentary kind of thing with real people starring in it. So he's not going to be in that. Starz was like, we're not doing that. And then he was going to be on a show called Creep Show on, I can't make this up, AMC's new streaming platform. So, in addition to the many other hits AMC has taken as a company, more on that later, it's looking like they are not going to have Marilyn Manson on that episode of that show.
Yeah, so this time, at least, people are taking the right stances, labels are doing the right things, music industry is doing the right thing for a little bit of it. And this is a very interesting one.
Members of the music industry are doing some of the right things about it, where Trent Reznor kind of gets in front of things and saying he denounces Marilyn Manson, Nine Inch Nails person, and also noted for kind of just being around in the music industry more broadly as it was growing in the aughts.
Because I think they signed him to his label, I'm pretty sure, when he first started. So Marilyn Manson to his label.
Yeah. He signed him. He was like a mentor, signed the band to their label, produced their first two studio albums, and invited them to open for Nine Inch Nails to tour. Manson accused Reznor of destroying the band's masters, and Reznor said that excessive use of drugs and alcohol had turned Manson into a, quote, dopey clown.
Mm-hmm.
And now with the allegations, Reznor said that, quote, I've been vocal over the years about my dislike of Manson as a person, and I cut ties with him nearly 25 years ago. Jeez. As I said at the time, the passage from Manson's memoir is a complete fabrication. I was infuriated and offended back when it came out, and remain so today. And there was another, the passage they're referring to in question is a particularly sexually graphic passage in Manson's memoir where he is describing a sex act that he and Trent Reznor apparently participated in.
Mm-hmm.
Trent Reznor back then said, that's gross, there's no way I would be doing that, and fuck you for putting my, like, name on that. So, like, at least that's the side that's there. Maybe there's a possibility that that did truly happen and Manson's telling the truth with Reznor and Reznor's just trying to cover his ass, but like, at least Reznor has been on the record for a long time and trying to distance himself from Manson, and Manson is like, done no help for himself, because a lot of times Marilyn Manson was used by the right wing in the United States as kind of like to use...
A scapegoat to
scare conservatives, saying like, oh, this is the moral panic of our age. But before they could use violent video games to say this is what's wrong with our kids, it was Marilyn Manson,
and
truthfully.
Blamed him for a lot of school shootings and other stuff that was happening in the 90s.
Yeah, and a lot of that was unfair because just like, yeah, he's like a shock jock rock artist, but like it's a performance on stage. And he's like, at times surprisingly well versed when he's speaking about like regular political issues, but you then of course see instances like this and you see the full character of that person.
Yes.
And like, again, Marilyn Manson already is not doing himself favors with the presentation that he has for doing these kinds of things, so sucks to suck. But like you said, it's good that the music industry seems to be handling this the proper way for once.
They need to handle other people better. So, you know.
Yes. Do your thing. Moving on.
Yes.
Slowly towards our arbitrary scale. Ja Rule is outraged about the stock drama that happened over the latest...
This is funny.
In late January, where Redditors were basically manipulating the stock price of GameStop and other stocks in order to get back at hedge fund managers. Mm-hmm. And it worked for at least a couple of days. Ja Rule had this to say... Oh, wow, had a lot to say. Quote, this is a fucking crime, what Robinhood app is doing. Do not sell, hold the line. Mm-hmm. And in response to the fact, like, Robinhood started to halt trading, seeing that, like, a lot of people were causing this damage to this hedge fund company. Let's see. He said, we're getting to see in plain sight how broken the system really is and how it's leaned over towards one particular group of people to get wealthy and others to not. J. Rule's right.
And then,
J. Rule's totally right.
And then this is one of my favorite quotes of J. Rule. It says, we're getting to see in plain sight how broken the system really is and how it's leaned toward one particular group of people getting wealthy and others to not. And this is in direct response to Robinhood shutting down trading buying of GameStop and other stocks and just like abruptness of all of that. And he was a pretty avid... user of Robinhood, telling people, tweeting about it, saying, "Hey, go use it. It's great to have like the power of people buying stocks in their own pocket and stuff." So, but now he's like, "Wow, what a difference just a day makes of all of that."
It was a really big, for folks who don't know all of the details about it, it was a really big case where, out in the open, many regular people, regardless of political party, were able to see that there were two sets of rules. Rules for billionaires who do these kind of manipulation of the markets and gaming the system every single day as a mode of doing business. And the rules for the poors, who are not allowed to do anything near the same amount of thing because that would destroy the so-called free market that we purposely keep unfree.
And then right here, the last quote I like, he says, this whole thing reminds me of the Roaring Twenties. It feels like that era again, just after the Spanish flu and with a whole lot of new sprout-up companies and ideas and a real separation of class. I kind of see the beginnings of that happening right now.
Ja Rule for Power Report?
So shit.
That's very... I mean, that's a really astute observation. That's a good summation of it all. I went on the podcast Shitpost, hosted by Jared Holt, to talk like more detail about this... exact matter in a more political context. So in lieu of a power report this week, check out that episode. In order to search online, you have to do SH exclamation point T post. But seriously, listen to the episode. It's really cool. And Jared Holt's super awesome. Meanwhile, we have an album to review. We have Medicine at Midnight by Foo Fighters.
Nine songs, 36 minutes long. Their first album in about 4 years. I think the last one was in 2017 that we reviewed. And that one was uttered. Absolute garbage dog shit.
Yeah, so I listened to a very interesting Foo Fighters review that we did in episode 18/19 of Audio Phase, because you were doing a triathlon the week that Foo Fighters was released. So Tammy and I reviewed it.
Right.
And then we asked for your opinions on it slightly the episode afterwards. Yeah. And Tammy and I's opinion, as people who didn't listen to Foo Fighters that much, was like ultimately sort of Uncle Rocky, but just like not moving forward from the sound or even the premise of the band and what it is, considering it's had 25 years to exist, basically.
Yes.
And your opinion was that, like, yeah, essentially that. And so there's definitely something they could have done better. We were hoping they would do better moving off of Concrete and Gold in 2017 to this. I'd like to know what you think.
This is way better than Concrete and Gold for sure. There's actually a lot of substance in the album that is decent. It doesn't start off good at all. Making a Fire is not a good opening track to me. It's like, out of all of the tracks, it's funny, that's the most Uncle Rocky is the opening track. And I go, going into it, because I heard the single, there's a couple of singles on our little, like Shame Shame, the second song, I heard a little bit before, so I knew that song going in. But then starting off with Making a Fire, I think was a bad decision. In that regard, I just set it off on the wrong tone. And I was like, okay, it's going to be Rocky or Uncle Rocky, so let's see what happens.
Uncle Rocky Road.
Yeah. But then Shame Shame right after it is actually a decent track. And I think it's kind of like a return to form in that regard, because it's putting in there like their solid rock elements, obviously, of the Foo Fighters, staying true themselves, but doing a little bit of trying a little bit different stuff within the constraints of rock. Nothing like spectacular or anything, but it's a decent Foo Fighters track. I think it's some of these tracks in the album are some of the best things that they've had in almost a decade, I like to say.
Yeah, so. I really dig the chorus of Shame Shame. Mm-hmm. I think, like I said, like, you, if you like Foo Fighters, you're gonna like Foo Fighters because they're, some people call it quiet loud, but it's just like a very energetic sound almost all the time.
Yeah.
And I think, okay, you can do that, but over time, music exists that's not energetic, so maybe try doing some of that and spinning your sound to that. And there were little glimpses when they did that here, because another one of my complaints of Concrete and Gold is that it didn't seem to stop at a tempo.
It's literally just that here the entire time, and it doesn't move at all, and that's the issue. It's just full gas 24/7.
And like, Pop, I'm really proud you can do that still. But like,
but we have examples of other rock groups, like Incubus example, I think it's the golden standard of Trust Side Fall B, of what a rock group can do that have been around since the 90s and how they can evolve and make good music. And Foo Fighters, this is much better effort. There's another track I really like after Cloud Spotter called Waiting on a War. And that's actually, there's a lot of good substance in the lyrics of that track too.
Yeah.
Where I like it where it said, I've been waiting for war since I was a kid with a toy gun.
I've been waiting on a war since I was young. Since I was a little boy with a toy gun. Never really wanted to be number one. Just wanted to love everyone. Is it more to this than that? Is it more to this than that?
So it's like almost a little bit about the misconceptions and stuff growing up as a kid about it, and like the over romanticization that you see in America of war. And it's actually a good track, and it's an acoustic, and it's a little bit softer and stuff. And I think this is where they shine with Foo Fighters, especially where they have more acoustic stuff, more acoustic guitar, and more of the vocals are prevalent, and it's not just in your face rock the whole time. It's more softer. That's where I think they shine. And this is definitely one of their better tracks that they've written as well.
Yeah, I think I liked the top half of this album more than the second half. And I wish they would have made this... You're really riding the line between whether this is a drop or an album or not. I'd say this is an album just based on the context
album.
Of the Foo Fighters.
It is an album because it's 9 tracks, 36 minutes long. If they got rid of like 2 songs in here, then it would have been more of a drop. And I think it actually would have been very, very good.
It would have been much better.
Yeah, I think there's still too much stuff in here that was not that great. So like Making a Fire, you could get rid of that track at the beginning. And I think like...
I would get rid of most of the last half of the album. Because even by Holding Poison, which is hard to do in a like 7th song into a 9-song album. Mm. But I was starting to kind of like get exhausted of like the, okay, all noise at once, rock music, like ballad thing. Mm-hmm. Like you've been doing this shit literally your entire existence as a band, and your older attempts at this shit were better because it was like a novel at that time. So yeah. I just want
and
them
there's
to...
Still, and the thing too is some of their older stuff, like their best song still to me is Everlong, and that's that soft rock. That soft, I wouldn't say soft rock, but the softer rock. It's not always in your face. It's more like an introspective, deeper dive into someone and everything.
Yeah.
Which you have hints of that throughout the album. So there's some good in there. There's still some stuff where they still are Uncle Rocky, but it's such a better effort than their previous album. So it's decent.
Yeah, it's not quite the like returns to form that we had last year where it was like,
oh no,
rock bottom to just like soaring highs, but this is a step in the right direction. This is several steps in the right direction, yeah. But they're like kind of several tiny steps.
Yeah, agreed.
Arbitrary Scale this week, as we've alluded to a little bit, are heavily shorted stocks. Stocks that were heavily shorted in the markets back during the whole like GameStop saga thing. Whichever one you want to pick, whatever one you want to do it. Arbitrary Scale, that's how it goes. For me, this is BlackBerry.
Damn, I was going to say BlackBerry.
Used to be Research in Motion. They have
Motion. Never forget.
Speaking of Research in Motion, they have a lot of standing real estate that's going unused by the Irvine Spectrum, apparently.
Wait, really?
I don't know. I was driving by and I saw like a large BlackBerry building. I'm like, that's a waste of real estate. That's a waste of real estate,
super
buddy.
Waste of real estate. Empty building right there.
An empty building by the 405 in Irvine, California for your corporate headquarters. If you're a Canadian company, that's a little rough.
Right.
But yeah, that'll be us. It's a little step in the right direction. But
exactly,
not
but it's not, yeah, it's not enough.
Like when BlackBerry started making Android phones.
Exactly. It's a step in the right direction, but it's not enough. All right, moving on from Foo Fighters, we're going into more stories. And we got to bring back an award real quick. We need to bring back one of my favorite awards we've had on Audio Face called the Dusk Till Dawn Award. For those of you real Audio Face fans, you know exactly what that is. That is the infamous Tiger Woods Mugshot Award for the best mugshot in music. So, Silento, he was arrested for murdering his cousin.
Yeah. Silento yeah. of Watch Me Whip, Watch Me Nene yeah,
exactly.
fame.
Exactly.
noted one-hit wonders of the 2010s.
God, that song was so annoying. But the best part is just his mugshot is just wondrous.
Yeah.
Just, you can feel the regret in his face of what brought me here to this deep misery level I'm at right now.
The best part will be at the end of the year when we get to compare YFN Lucci's mugshot, which I happen to have on my screen right here, back to back with the mugshot from what's-his-face, Silento. I mean, like, just what are your thoughts here, okay? So, like, this is YFN Lucci over here, see?
Okay, yeah.
And then...
Sorry, we got some sauce. We got some competition.
I mean, Silento has that look that someone, like, 2 years ago, we gave someone the mugshot award because they just looked like they had actually just committed murder. Like, they looked like...
Oh, yeah, they looked guilty. Yeah.
It was, like, Audio Face before the Bodies Are Cold award for looking at the camera.
Jesus Christ.
So yeah, moving on. So this was truly the we spaced things out very interestingly on this episode. This was the second largest news story of the week.
And bringing back another award.
Yeah. And going into something we usually rarely do on Audio Face, but would like to do more of, that's a damn lie, country music. Morgan Wallen, the country music store. Literally the only country music I will listen to is Wheeler Walker Jr. Morgan Wallen was a country music star. And he was caught on video using L-N-word. What word was it? The word that you can only say the N-word in front of, that word.
And with a hard R.
Yeah, TMZ has the video, which for YouTube demonetization reasons, we won't be putting in here, where the country singer was returning home with a group of friends from a Nashville bar when a ruckus began happening outside. Apparently they were having a fight and Wallen said, quote, "Take care of this pussy ass motherfucker. Take care of this pussy ass N-word." with the hard R.
So speaking of hard R, now we gotta bring back my other favorite award, the Hard R Award.
For bigotry in music.
Exactly.
We've stressed this award for a lot of different like types of bigotry in music. Sometimes it's just a musician who shows their bigotry, and even if it's like a small way, it's like a, hey, it's a technicality.
Or Lil Wayne chilling for Trump, or you know, something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Or Lil Pump's Butterfly Doors with the Yao Ming lyric.
That's one of the worst.
That was a legendarily bad award-winning Hard R Award.
Exactly.
But this is making a really strong response for the 2021 Audio Face Awards for the Hard R Award, because you used the Hard R. You literally did it.
Mm-hmm.
People were saying, I think one of us made a comment in the Lana Del Rey video of like Lana Del Rey for the Hard R Award. And people who weren't used to watching Audio Face were like, no, that's too rough. Lana Del Rey didn't do anything like that. Morgan Wallen did
actually did it where he's like, exactly. he put emphasis on R, like, Jesus.
It's like, hey, man. Chill.
At Bamf, we made a podcast. Hey, man.
Whoa. this is a pattern. We know the dance, Audio Face listeners. The thing happens, and then there has to be a response to it. So the response.
And then Whitey gets very uncomfortable too, and then just like starts just dropping.
More than that later. So.
Oh, exactly. More. Put a pin on that.
So after TMZ reported this, Big Loud Records has made the decision to suspend Morgan Wallen's recording contract indefinitely. So suspend indefinitely is different from the terminated that Marilyn Manson got.
Yes.
Because suspend indefinitely still leaves the door for ajar. Yeah, the door is ajar for you.
Marilyn Manson, they're just like, cut that shit.
Marilyn Manson's like, you are going to have to start putting things on Bandcamp, buddy, because we're done. We're not helping you anymore. In addition, Cumulus Media and their parent or like similar company, iHeartRadio, are not using any of Wallen's music on their country music charts at all. And of course, one thing that might be interesting to find out is where are the few, the proud, the nascent Black people in country music think about this moment. Needless to say, they're pissed. So. Mickey Guyton said, this is not the first time that using, said a really good point. We're saying, this is not the first time that using this quote unquote unacceptable racial slur, and we all known that. So what exactly are y'all going to do about it? Crickets won't work this time. And it's a good point. Like
it's
country
everywhere.
Music, and just as much as America, is full of anti-Black racism. And a lot of times it's just like, I mean, it used to be they were cheering it on, and then it became bad to cheer it on. So now they're just like kind of, Like Mickey Guyton said, crickets won't work this time. Usually it's just crickets and go, oh, that's bad. This is bad. So,
Things are actually going. And he's removed from streaming services. And one big thing is, he was like slated to do stuff for like the awards show, like the CMAs and stuff.
Yeah.
But he's barred from the Academy of Country Music. So he's not eligible for any awards this year.
Yeah.
Which is a big thing, because he was like a big rising star and stuff on it, and it's just chopped.
Yeah. The Academy of Country Music, the statement says, will halt Morgan Wallen's potential involvement and eligibility for this year's 56th Academy of Country Music Awards cycle. We've made his management team aware of the decision. We don't condone or support intolerance of behavior. Yada, 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 commitment to inclusion. Wallen told TMZ, quote, I'm embarrassed and sorry. I used an unacceptable and inappropriate racial slur that I wish I could take back as vigorously as when I used it.
Yep.
I added that part near the end. But largely, you are getting a lot of people, but especially like Black artists in country music, saying like, this is country music. This is kind of the stuff we're dealing with. Maren Morris included.
Yeah, there's one thing I like where someone said, this is definitely not his first time saying that word.
Yeah.
So it's everywhere. It's pretty rampant in country music, and it's a culture and a thing that just needs to die down and go away.
Maren Morris was saying that in the tweet. It actually is representative of our town, referring to country music generally, because this isn't his first scuffle, and he just demolished a huge streaming record last month regardless. We all know it isn't his first time using the word. We keep them rich and protected at all costs with no recourse. And that's touching on a lot, mainly the idea that a lot of people were saying, country music isn't like this. This isn't the way we are. This isn't who we are. So this is why we're upset with what was originally said about Morgan Wallen. When the pushback to that is, no, this is a lot of what country music is, and this is what a lot of people in country music have been fighting for. And the fact that people in country music go, country music, racist, what name so? As though, like, literally 20 years ago, there wasn't, like, a very strong, like, ecosystem of racist country music that was supported so much. There's a goddamn Boondocks episode about it.
Yep.
So it's at least good that from the record music industry, there wants to be some move to say, hey, this isn't representative of country music.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good because Morgan Wallen's sales have skyrocketed 339% after use of the racial slur. Which is to say, this is country music. This is not everyone who listens to country music, of course not, but a lot of country music culture has to do with this racism. Much of like, we're probably one of the only podcast that points out traps layers of anti-Semitism that are probably...
It's probably very deep because
of the like historical connections there. It's probably less intentional, but it's still very bad and very prominent there. Here, there's historical context to why this music is racist, and so or like not again, not the whole genre being racist, but why many members of this genre of music are racist to the point of where people who listen to this music are racist and will openly choose to listen to the music of the racist after hearing that they're racist. So it's something to just like kind of watch out for. And it was another thing like was highlighted during the Lil Nas X thing that was pissing him off. Are you mad because I am doing country? It's like, what was the thing going on there? So yeah, that's the Morgan Wallen saga of the two really big things that happened in music this week. And it, hopefully this is maybe one of the two times on Audio Face this year I talk about country music.
Yep.
Moving on to a different kind of country music, we have Shiesty Season by Pooh Shiesty. This is 17 songs, 49 minutes, Pooh Shiesty is Lil Gucci Mane. And I say this not because he sounds literally like Lil Gucci Mane.
He's part of 1017, right?
Yes. And so same record label has a song featuring Gucci Mane on it. So
why'd you make me listen to this?
It's because it's pure, clean, wholesome trap. And I thought
the
like,
intro is...
No. Well, I'll share it with you. One of the reasons I picked this album is because the album cover is just hilarious.
The album cover, yeah. It's...
It reminds me of Ghetto Jimmy Neutron meets the PJs. it's so funny. I guess if I like, it kind of actually kind of reminds me of the same style of animation of like a 6ix9ine cover. Especially
yeah, that's what I think. That's what I thought of.
But I don't hate Big Shite, Pooh Shiesty yet, so I can enjoy this cover.
The intro is one of the worst trap things I've heard in a long time because it's just this is a normal trap beat, but all the rapping is literally like intertwining over each other. So it sounds like you're accidentally played two songs at the same time. You're trying to quit out of an app and it's not letting you quit out, but you realize that's a song that's intentional and that should never happen again in trap ever.
Yeah.
Please God.
It's a thing that happens a lot in a number of genres where like when you're mixing it, you'll layer the different takes over each other as verses line by line. And it's a little bit disorienting for sure. But yeah, you get through the album more broadly. It's definitely just like pure, clean, wholesome trap. Like, it is what it is in that trap context.
Yeah.
I would say, using the 2020 as a level with a rough scale of 1 to 10, because I know we do arbitrary scales here, but 5 being Gunna as like the absolute like middle of the road, not great, not terrible. Would you rate this as better than Gunna or worse than Gunna?
Fuck.
You'd have to commit.
Because
I would say this is definitely better than
it's
Gunna.
Better, it's better like than Gunna because at times it's like a 2 and at times it's like a 7.
And he has his voice and the way he pronounces, which is like not for everyone / very annoying, but he is also very lyrical and like smart.
And there's some stuff in there that's decent. Like even though I'm not a big fan of the Goose Man himself, Gucci Mane, Ugly is a decent trap song, and I actually like Gucci's part in it. I can listen to the song and I'm fine. Don't do nothing, I get in the club with a 10 millimeter regular clip of Doug. And a Gucci backpack, feel a rack, try some of my press that button. Break the automatic fold and chop out my Louis V. Lundy. Got respect for all the old hoes, roll my dick when I was nothing. Got some money, now I'm fucking twin sister, mama's cunt. I just Louis V.
bitch love that little boy like I'm from Kentucky. The chopper knocked him out of shoes and now that bitch on crutches.
I just can't tell which part is you.
Exactly.
I mean, I actually like, kind of can because I could tell the difference in like sound a little bit, like only barely.
Yeah. And then A Box of Churches with 21 is actually a decent song too. There's a couple songs in here where like I can listen to this and be fine. And then there's stuff on here where I get about 5 seconds in. I'm like, nope, can't do it.
I mean, yeah, to me, Pure Clean Wholesome Trap to me means it's a trap album mostly about gangbanging in the streets, barely even about like the future aspect of I'm a man whore who constantly puts his dick in merit and like baby making situations
while I can't remember because I have so many Percocets.
Yeah, like there's that aspect. And this is just more like kill, 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 move on, kill, 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 move on, yeah. Get in trap. It's also like a mixtape kind of thing, which is good because the album doesn't need to be cohesive with each other. That's already out the window and like barely any trap albums are to begin with. And I can just pick the 3 or 4 songs out of here that I like and think are worth listening to, put them on a playlist and move on with my life. And I can do that with this.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah. Another good one. There's some production on here that really helped carry the lyricism that Pooh Shiesty has, because he has an interesting flow which is like almost off kilter half the time, but ends up actually working on his own beat. I guess I would prefer it to be a little bit tighter, like maybe 21 Savage's rapping, but in Take a Life featuring Fugiano, it's a good mix of a nice sort of like fluty trap production, a simple like not over glary, too much like hi-hat bullshit snare in the background, and it mostly sounds good. I'm there on for the price. Quickly blew up paranoid, even my chopper got a knife. The slamming dude just walked up in the room, she spotted me on sight. She was cool before we fucked, this bitch got toxic overnight. But I can't change it up for nothing. This shit go down, I press that button. This shit go down, I press that button. These niggas gangster all of a sudden. Bitch, I know your way from way back when. You never stepped on that. All that rapping shit, yeah, y'all. But you put words together good. If I take you where I'm from, I'm like Obama in my hood. Yeah, I'm in charge. It's just like one of those things, like I'll pick some songs out of here and most of it is just stuff that kind of sounds the same.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how it is. Master P with Tay Keith, the second to last song, is it feels like a caricature of itself of what bad trap, like someone who's trying to make traps puts into a trap song, because it has like the worst Fisher Price beat in the background.
Oh yeah, the laying synth in the background.
Yeah. It's just bad.
Yeah.
Pretty brutal.
It's, yeah, funny, because that's a Tay Keith one. So he should have fucked it up, but he actually did fuck it up.
No, yeah, exactly.
So yeah, it's a nice effort. It's a nice outing.
It's a thing.
Yeah, it's out there. There are a couple songs on it that I think went hard. Arbitrary Scale, I'm going to give this Shorted Stocks. What would you give it?
Nokia.
No, it would be mine too.
A Nokia, where you're like, you don't know too much about Nokia, right? So you don't know the tower aspect. You don't know the other things of infrastructure that Nokia.
Yeah, never mind the 5G. We're just talking about the trap phones.
Yeah, exactly. But you know those phones never break. So you short it, but then it never quite comes to fruition. But you're not going to lose that much money. So
yeah, eventually the 5G.
Eventually
will win you over. Yeah.
Eventually.
Eventually. Moving on out of that, Ice Cube is making good on his defense from last year, where when Ice Cube last year met with Donald Trump in the heat of the general election, he was criticized for like, hey, why are you aligning or trying to work with someone like Donald Trump?
I got to work with the person who's ever in charge.
Yeah.
Which is his defense, and staying true to that, he meets with Sleepy Uncle Joe.
Yes. Sleepy Hansy.
Hansy Uncle Joe.
I guess is warm body Joe Biden. met with Ice Cube to discuss issues of reparations, racial equality, things like that. And again, this is Ice Cube really living his politics and showing, like, I'll work with whoever is in power. So good on him for that. He says, I knew at the end of the day, whether a Democrat or Republican is in the White House, they're still not looking at our agenda the right way. It really don't matter. We still got to get them to acknowledge and remedy the situation. So right now, they like to acknowledge, but nobody wants to do what it takes to remedy the situation. So that's the part we need to get on these politicians about actually fixing it. And they have the power to, they just won't do it. And it's useful.
Fair
like, if you're going to, not too much politics, but if you're going to accept the fact this is like a two-party entrenched cartel kind of political system, then okay, you got to work both sides of the cartels because they're going to trade power. So, and the power they need, at least for the time being, relies on, to some extent, a lot of the black vote. So black people should be playing both sides of that. And if the Democrats aren't giving black people as a community enough, it's a negotiating tactic to go to the Republicans and see what they'll do to at least scare the Democrats into doing more. So I'm willing to follow Ice Cube out on that. I'm not saying I agree with everything he does or stands for or whatever, but like I cool it with this strategy, I would say. And it's not a bad strategy. Next, this is a weird one. But using biosonic MIDI technology, MIDI technology, a baby named Luca Yupaniki was basically in utero. And those sounds were used to create an album. If you want to listen to
this sounds like some Grimes shit. I'm surprised Grimes didn't do this with Archangel himself. So
yeah. The baby is the child of bassist Elizabeth Hart and Lee Scratch Perry collaborator Yvonne Diaz Mathy. So yeah, they're having this baby. They really wanted this baby to be musical, and so they hooked up a MIDI controller to her stomach.
So how were you when you were a baby? Well, even before I was born, my mom hooked me up to a MIDI controller to make me an album. Do you want to listen to it?
I was making music before I was born, just for the record. So pre-orders for Sounds of the Unborn are currently ongoing, including a splatter-colored vinyl to remind you of... I'm just gonna not finish that sentence.
Please don't. But what does this one kid do when it grows up and like goes into the music industry and then hands him a resume? And the resume starts when they're negative 6 months old.
The same support group that XAE-12 is going to go through probably. So there's that. We move on to world news in Austria, where the Austrian Weird Al Yankovic, who also happens to be a Nazi, was arrested over his neo-Nazi songs. Of course, that part of Europe has tougher rules and regulations.
Especially Germanic-speaking countries, they have a lot of laws against Nazis.
Yeah, because let's just say they've been down that road before.
Yes.
And they don't.
We don't like that call.
We
don't. Not a very good call.
Yeah, no. So I think it's basically this rapper was making the Weird Al Yankovic aspect of it was he was parodying recreating existing songs and making them with like Nazi, anti-Semitic, right-wing,
pretty
racist
bad.
Lyrics.
Pretty bad stuff.
We'll be including one of the songs in the outro for the podcast. No. But yeah, police seized a mixing desk, hard disks, weapons, and a military flag from the Third Reich era during their search.
Fucking A, dude.
You know, I mean, like you said,
don't
hit him with the Third Reich.
Don't hit him with the Kriegsmarine flag, okay?
Buddy.
I mean, old Kriegsmarine flag from like 44. Don't hit him with that.
In post to online forums based in the U.S., the rapper compared the man behind the 2019 Christchurch shootings that killed 51 people at a New Zealand mosque to a saint and translated his racist manifesto into German. They also reported that his music was used as the soundtrack to a live stream attack in Halle, where a man shot dead two people after a failed attempt to storm a synagogue. Because now these neo-Nazis are using like music during their live streams of committing acts of mass murder. And one of the people clearly inciting them to this violence is now being arrested. So I guess that's good on the margins there.
But, why can't like the Steven Crowders of the world go move to Germany, Austria and get arrested on the spot? Because I know I'm pretty sure like any type of anything remotely promoting a Nazi agenda or anything like that, you get automatically arrested.
But that's the great thing about America is we have free speech. The Germans are like, well, we tried that.
And the Germans are like, well, you know, we did that. Not good luck.
Yeah. On that, we now continue this very odd roller coaster of an episode of Audio
Very.
Fix to another album, Van Jess's Homegrown, definitely a drop. Nine songs, 30 minutes long. And Van Jess has kind of just like been in the underground as a neo-pop duo here and there. But through this album, you realize, oh, they've actually been on a lot of songs that you know.
They've been on a lot of stuff that you've known, exactly.
Yeah. The song that it starts off the drop, Come Over, has been, like, I've heard it so many times.
I've heard it a bunch. Yeah. I hit you on your line. I wanna come over.
Just a really smooth, groovy, funk-filled, like neo-pop song.
Mm-hmm. It's been like remixed. It's been like featured in a bunch of other stuff of like people mixing this track and everything. So I've heard it a lot. Solid track. Very good. Great opening for the album too. And then after that, you got Slow Down, which then has elements of trap and B in there too, kind of mixing neo-pop with trap and B. And I really like that aspect into it because my issue with trap and B, sometimes it can get a little stagnant if you just keep doing the same thing over and over again, right? But
yes.
I like it in the context of a drop, and then especially after more neo-pop stuff, and if it's sandwiched between them, it's very good in that context. Because then it gets you into a little bit more of a groovy beat, and then you can slow it down, speed it up a little bit, and go back and forth with it.
Yeah, and a good thing you can do with trap and B is that in the context of an album or a drop, you can combine it with a lot of other different sounds and make it cool altogether, make that drop a really more complete work. Because I like the trends, like I wasn't expecting Curious with Van Jess, Jimmy Tense, and Garen to fit musically in the rest of the album, along with Dysfunctional, which is the Catronata track.
Yeah.
And like the Catronata track Dysfunctional was old for us when we reviewed the Catronata album technically a year ago, in late 2019. And it's still a really great song.
It's still a damn good song. Exactly. It's a damn good song. I saw it and I was like, I didn't realize that this song was going to be on this album. But okay, I'll take it because I'll listen to it again. Can't handle you. Not give up this sugar. Know it's yourself, babe. You let it stick down and it'll be hot. If you would just be kind. Give up this sugar. Know it's yourself, babe.
Yeah, a lot of artists are doing that where they're like, they're double dipping. It's like, okay, we made the song, use it for your thing, we'll use it for my thing. Yeah. And it goes to show Catronata is an incredible producer. But it's
amazing.
Versatile in the context of a standalone song, of course. It's a really powerful punch as a standalone song. But in both Catronata's album and Van Jess's album,
it fits perfectly.
Fits with both albums' sounds and where they fit in both
albums. And
they're
totally
really nice.
They're two very different albums.
Yeah, it goes to show the thing I was saying earlier where like,
you can
now expand what you're doing genre-wise, even back-to-back song. It's really good. And a lot of what I also like instrumentation-wise, as most of this album is trap and B, is that you get like songs like Roses and High and Dry are like barely music. It's just like bass note and then drums and it's really powerful singing.
Yeah.
It's really nice to see how much you can do with a small amount of music and still make it sound really powerful and meaningful. In fact, High and Dry actually has a really nice kind of almost experimental drum beat to it in the back. It sounds really nice. High and dry. While you're so run out, I'ma get you in love. There's no pip the eye out, get you running and run. If they cut you die out, pull you out for your loss. Hit you back on the way. When is one of those days? So definitely that's really good.
It's a great drop overall. I really that middle part I actually enjoyed a lot because I was interested too when I heard Dysfunctional. I'm like, what's gonna be play after it? And then High and Dry is more of again that trap and B. And it's having Dysfunctional sandwiched between Curious and High and Dry is a perfect spot for it. And then within the rest of the album, then you get more into your neo pop stuff towards the end where it slows down a little bit more. Even like the song with Caught Up with Phony Pal is a little bit more like upbeat track and stuff. And it's just fantastic.
Super funky.
Yeah, very funky. You hear that funk beat and bass throughout the album. You have little elements of it here or there, but then it comes out to prominence in Caught Up for sure. And it's fantastic. And then the last two songs kind of slow things down with Boothang and Come Over Again.
And Come Over Again, which is like an even more trappy remix of Come Over, which I actually, maybe just because I've heard Come Over so many times over the past like 3 years now, I like it a little bit more. I like Come Over Again, which is the remix, a little bit more than Come Over.
Yes.
But they're both really nice songs and sounds, and the album wraps up nicely. A rare case where I would have liked one more, maybe two more songs.
I would have liked it to be a little bit longer. I would have liked a little bit more stuff if you had another song, like another Kitchenata produced song or something more into that realm of more upbeat electronic stuff to spice it up. Then this would have been such a good album to make it a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Very good drop, though.
But yeah, very good drop. Cream of the crop of what we consider a drop.
Yes.
I know what mine is, but I don't want to like steal yours. So what would you call this?
Damn. This shit.
To me, this is AMC.
This AMC for you?
They got comeback power.
Yeah.
We short them right now, but they've got comeback power.
I was going to say this is solid. You're buying Bear Stearns as it's like slowly coming down, but then you're shorting the stocks that you're buying because you're doing like a Uno reverse card onto your own thing, which doesn't make sense, but you're getting a shit ton of money out of it either way.
It's like you're getting a short position on your earlier position.
Exactly. As it just like slowly fell and then ate shit and then hit rock bottom at zero, and then you're like, jackpot.
Okay. That is Hooked on Economics. We should definitely do our financial podcast for day traders.
Oh, God. Don't follow our advice. Please. And we always like to end Audio Face on a fun note. So we got our little quick hit section.
Lighter note.
Lighter note.
Yeah.
So this is a fun little story. So a bunch of fans petitioned NASA to name a planet TOI-1338b in Sophie's memory. They, I guess it kind of resembles her last album with like, it's a gas planet. So it kind of resembles that.
Yeah, it has like a pinkish purplish gradient, which is similar to the pinkish purplish gradient used on Sophie's first and tragically only album, Oil of Every Pearl's Uninsides. This TOI-1338b was discovered by 17-year-old student Wolf Kuckier in early 2020. Just days into his high school internship at NASA. This is a thing all the time. You can just discover planets. We're discovering planets left and right. But it would be a cool thing because planets and stars and all this shit get named for things all the time. I think NASA was doing a thing for a while where, like, for Valentine's Day, you could name a planet after your significant other.
Yeah.
So this would be a cool thing to do to honor Sophie. And, like, hyperpop is very much, like, a futuristic, spacey thing.
It is. Yeah.
So it'd be, like, a good honor. I'm sure Sophie would appreciate it.
Yeah.
now for something completely different. Bad Bunny makes his debut in WWE Royal Rumble.
It's a thing.
Yeah, so not only does he perform his hit single Booker T, but he also jumps into the ring himself.
The best part though is the reaction of all like there's virtual people in the audience is the best part. Just seeing people on Skype like beautiful poetry in motion.
That's some good wrestling shit right there. And speaking of poetry in motion, speaking of life imitating art, speaking of Audio Face always ending on a fun note, noted trap artist Lil Uzi Vert has paid $24 million to implant a diamond into his forehead. Those are words that I just said. Those are factual words that I just said.
He legitimately has a giant pink diamond in between his eyebrows. So no more slaughter gain, no more like, in my head, there's a dagger. It's going to be, in my head, the diamond. Take a beat, diamond.
I
just
You're not fucking around with the city girls anymore, but you got a diamond in your skull, so there's that.
How do you put on a jacket? Like, what if it gets caught?
Literally, he's going to kill himself putting on a shirt.
I mean, Darwinism at its finest right there.
Let me see if I can get some quotes on this.
Please.
I've been paying for a natural pink diamond from Elliot for years now. I'm referring to Elliot Eliante, who's like a noted jeweler for celebrities. All my cars, the diamond was worth $24 million, worth more than all my cars together plus home. And he's been paying off the diamond since 2017.
I need to rethink your life, but okay.
Soon after the piercing made its debut on Tuesday, fans claimed the piercing was off-center. Uzi responded to those claims by saying, "It's actually in the middle. When the swelling goes down, I'll get a short bar so it won't move. Y'all keep talking about it's off because the long bar in it, because this won't move because of the swelling." This is a problem he totally created for himself, and now he's butthurt about it.
The best part, he still doesn't own the diamond. He's still paying off the fucking diamond in his head. You don't own your head, bud.
No, please repossess that diamond.
Okay.
We need one that's like shows on the History Channel where like when those truckers comes in looking like that like buff dog meme, the buff doge meme, coming in with a bat and a tow truck coming in to steal Lil Uzi for a skull diamond.
Oh my god.
Uzi, your skull diamond's off-center. You know that sent him on one, right?
Oh my god, it's beautiful.
It's not like he just poked that around and go, that fixed it.
I hope to god that he goes broke and they have to repossess his diamond and like the guy comes over like, well, mine, and just rips it off.
My brain, which is calculating three different paths I could possibly take this. What are some of the mini characters? Like, there's like a Marvel character or something that was compared to this. No, it's not Thanos because it didn't have a thing. But there's an Avatar character, right?
Oh yeah, that's right. When I first saw this, I said that this looked like Sparky Sparky Boom Boom guy from Avatar: The Last Airbender, where he could bend out of his mind. It looks exactly like that. Life imitating art.
It's real bad, man.
It is wondrous.
Restraint. This has been Audio Face.
You're welcome, Peter.
This has been Audio Face. Thank you very much for listening. Haven't done this in a while, but I'm going to do the thing where I jinx myself and I talk about what we're expecting to review next week on the podcast. Essentially, because this is the only podcast I do that doesn't have episodes that delete constantly. Slow Tide, Django, and Pale Waves next week.
It's going to be interesting.
Should be very
interesting.
That's
a lot of stuff.
That's a selection on episode 175, which is quite a number also.
Interesting.
Definitely check that out next week on Audio Face. You can find it the same place you're finding it in whatever podcast app you like. Apple Podcasts, Spotify. If you're in Apple Podcasts, by the way, rate us 5 stars. Let us know you like it. Tell people that you like the podcast and tell them they can listen to it on Pocket Casts or Stitcher or TuneIn or any of the other ones. Tell them they can also follow the podcast on Instagram and Twitter at AudioFacePod. Mm-hmm. And they can find you on Twitter and Instagram at SW Suarez. Mm-hmm. And they can find me on Twitter at Dan from the Web and on Instagram at Dan from the Internet.
I like how you did the outro and I was going to do the outro, but you just kept rolling with it. And I was like, I'll let you do it.
Yeah, I realized it halfway through and I was like, I'm just going to continue doing it.
It works out. This has been Audio Face. Thank you guys for listening.
Yes. Cheers.
Bye.